the face not eating, than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. Or more poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
this is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones had an up day today after Tuesday's 416-point drop. We'll have the closing numbers coming up later in our business block. Iraq's neighbors, Iran and Syria, will participate in a joint U.S.-Iraqi security summit. British representatives, as well as those from Saudi Arabia, will also take part in the regional conference. The tentative date set, according to Iraqi state television, is March 10th. The U.S. military said an American soldier was killed in Baghdad yesterday while on patrol. The U.S. death toll in the Iraq War is at least 3,162, according to the Associated Press count. House Democrats are coming up with a new anti-war proposal with the hope of gaining bipartisan support. Instead of cutting off funding for the U.S. troops, the plan would make President Bush address the problems the overburdened military faces. Next week, Jordan's King Abdullah will address the U.S. Congress. The March 7th speech is expected to focus on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby perjury and obstruction trial has deliberated for 5 days without reaching a verdict. Today, on the sixth day of deliberations, they asked the judge for a clarification about one of the 5 counts against Libby, but the jurors soon clarified the matter themselves. The latest Washington Post ABC News political poll finds that Senator Barack Obama is gaining ground against Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton in the race for the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination. He has growing support among black voters who were previously backing her. On the Republican side, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has increased his lead, now a 2-1 advantage, over rival Senator John McCain. At least 20 and possibly as many as 23 states are planning to hold their primaries on February 5th, effectively making that day a national primary. The Roman Catholic Diocese of San Diego has decided to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection just before the first of 140 priest abuse lawsuits was to go on trial. The bankruptcy filing put a halt to the court proceedings. According to a study by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, there are about 745,000 homeless people in the U.S., either in shelters or on the streets. The so-called snapshot was based on data collected on a single night in January of 2005. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Australian researchers say that 20 new species of sharks and rays have been discovered at local fish markets in Indonesia. The FDA has approved the first drug used to prevent dogs from getting car sick. The Pfizer medication is available in tablet and injectable forms. In response to Tuesday's 416-point plunge in the Dow Jones, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress today that there was no, quote, single trigger that led to the drop. The Commerce Department reports that in January, new home sales went down by 16.6%, which is the largest decline in 13 years. Home prices were also down 2.1% compared to a year ago. The median sales price of a new home in January was $239,800. As part of a restructuring plan, Airbus announced it will cut 10,000 jobs over 4 years. The BBC reports that Pablo Picasso's granddaughter's home was robbed in Paris Monday night. Two Picasso paintings worth about $65 million are missing. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.75 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 52 points at 12,268. The Nasdaq was up 8 points at 2416. And the S&P 500 up 8 at 1406. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. The middle of the week, as it were, 6.5 minutes after the hour here where I am. Well, odds are it's 6.5 minutes hour after the, at least we don't have to worry about what time it is. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm glad as I can be to be with you this evening. I hate missing Wednesdays especially because, you know, I'm particularly fond of Wednesdays because, in point of fact, you know what Wednesday's all about.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right. Just like the way I grew up, Wednesday is for prayer meeting, and this is the prayer meeting edition of Head On, and I'm glad to have you here in Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. And, well, fun religion stories out there today, but first of all, as a public service, I think we need to do this. Move along now. There's nothing to see here. Nothing happened. There's nothing you can fit in. There's nothing for you here. That 500-point drop in the stock market really didn't happen yesterday. Okay? That's what it was all about today as Fed Chief Ben Bernanke hustled his way up to the House of Representatives and said, "Well, the markets seem to be working well and they're functioning normally. The sell-off hasn't altered the Federal Reserve's view on U.S. economic growth." And the minute he said that, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went, yeah, 100 points up. Ever wonder why people invest in the stock market? Is there anything more volatile? Honest to God, half the time I think I'm better off going to Vegas and trying to count cards until I get caught, which will be immediately because, you know, I can't count cards. Of course, I've never played blackjack. 1, 2, 3. Are you counting cards? Yeah, I'm counting cards. Definitely counting cards. But one of these days I'm going to go to the business section of the news and I'm going to find that, noted stock analyst had a hangnail and it cost the Dow Jones Industrial Average 25 points. Or is it just me? Do you get that sense? But it did rebound today, the stock market. And according to the text I'm looking at, Tuesday's market meltdown was triggered by a sharp fall in Chinese shares and signs of economic weakness. A computer glitch also impacted the reporting of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, making the big decline in the United States appear even more dramatic. No, it was dramatic enough all by itself. Some bargain hunters were ready to jump back into stocks on Wednesday while analysts debated whether the sell-off was the start of a broader market correction. And then they describe it, this particular story, and it comes from CNN Money. And it goes to, my ongoing gripe with language, I guess is what you would call it. The bloodbath on Wall Street brought risk back into focus for many investors. Bloodbath? Bloodbath? You know, I can understand using a phrase like bloodbath when a nation is at peace and has no idea what a bloodbath really is. But we're engaged in a bloodbath in Iraq. And I don't care, for this particular issue, I don't care if you are right, left, center, diehard communist, or hardcore uber capitalist, or Milton Friedman's molding corpse. To use the word bloodbath to describe what was merely a loss of some electronic money among the pampered class of this nation is nothing short of an obscenity. Or is that, am I overreacting? Bloodbath? Bloodbath. The bloodbath on Wall Street brought risk back into focus. The abattoir of the New York Stock Exchange stock prices plummeted as though they had been struck, as though they had been put in a room that was filled with Zyklon B and gassed to death. It's the same metaphor, the same simile. And again, I think it points to the disconnect that we do indeed have in this country with the real meaning of war. We have not seen the caskets come home. We have not been permitted to see the planes landing at Dover Air Base. The President of the United States has not been to a single military funeral. And that is a signal to us all that it's far away and nothing that we need think about. And I find that horrifying because, among other things, in the stupid right-wing solicitation for me to interview Michael Payne about how groovy it is in Iraq right now, there was reference to PTSD. And, you know, that's another one of those little symptoms. People in the medical profession, whatever, can correct me if I'm wrong, or you can too, for that matter. It's just opinion. But we act as though PTSD is something that we can somehow cure, and somehow or another through training or differing means of going to war, avoid having happen to our fighting men and women. PTSD is just the name that we give it. It is something that has been that has befallen everyone from Og the caveman home for the home 2 weeks back in the cave after having bashed Gronk's brains in with a rock, to the hoplite soldier of the ancient Greeks, to the Roman legionnaire. War is a horror. A 500-point loss on the stock market isn't a bloodbath. Fallujah was a bloodbath. And the people who participated in it tend to come home and not do too well for a while. That is the disconnect that this nation suffers under. We've got some notion that war can be done cleanly and, I don't know, scientifically. And that when you get right up on top of a body that has been blown limb from limb and into its constituent parts, that somehow you're supposed to be able to look at that and go, another day at the office, Eunice. You can't. It is a horror. It is the greatest horror of which humankind is capable. And it is also manifest stupidity. So, you know, okay, the market rebounded. I suppose that's good. It has to be, I think. But I'll be doggone if I will think of anything that happened among a bunch of wool and cashmere and silk blend suited the Wall Street tycoons as being a bloodbath. And I am offended. Oh, what was her name? I am offended by Grace Wong, who seems to think that losing money is the same thing as losing a limb. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. You know how to reach the program, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. We'll be right back. I'm Bob.
Trouble the water. Who's that yonder dressed in red? Way in the water.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed three brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, one-third of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around.
Alrighty then, so I've got the Sacramento Cigar fired up. Let's see, this evening's flavor is a Petrus Fortis by Felipe Gregorio. It's a dandy, by the way, if you're into that kind of thing. Don't let the fact that that fat slob flemball smokes cigars make you think that. Don't hold it against the cigars. Yeah. What is it? It's like the NRA says, you know. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Jeez. At any rate, let's immediately take this prayer meeting to the congregation. Susan is online calling in from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, as Malloy says, I'm about to open a vein.
What now?
A little article from the Army Times, nice liberal publication. It seems that those wounded soldiers in Walter Reed have been told, don't talk to the media. They are being, in effect, punished by 6 a.m. They have to be up by 6 a.m. It's a little difficult if you're suffering from a traumatic brain injury. They have to have their rooms ready for inspection by 7. And they're told, under no circumstances do you talk to the media. Do you know who was relieved of command over this whole brouhaha?
Who?
A sergeant.
Really? A sergeant was responsible for Walter Reed Medical Center? Well, doesn't that just beat all?
Instead of the dude who was in command of Walter Reed and who therefore had the authority to make some changes, it was a sergeant who was relieved, who didn't.
Well, you know, they say it's sergeants who make the army go, so.
Right. Now,
well, this idea that they're forbidden to talk to the media is absolutely stunning. I had this story in the stack for this evening, Susan, and it just we're sorry you were injured so allegedly fighting for freedom, so now you need to shut up.
Yeah, you are no longer an American citizen. You no longer have the right to free speech. And just to tie it into prayer meeting, I suggest the people within the sound of my voice go into their local churches and call down the wrath of God on these people.
Not a bad idea. Somebody, because where is the wrath, Susan? I mean, I saw some dude with a lot of jewelry on his shoulder, you know, stars and whatnot, and he said, well, you know, I was aware of this, and I take full responsibility. But no, he doesn't. He's still got a job. He's still drawing his pay.
Yeah, he took full responsibility and then turned around and fired a sergeant.
Does anybody in this administration ever actually take the blame for anything?
No.
I don't think so. you know.
That's how you tell the difference between a Republican and a Democrat. A Democrat will at least occasionally take responsibility. A Republican, never.
Well, it simply astonishes me. I'm glad you're keeping the issue alive, Susan, because I don't think what was going on at Walter Reed deserves to become yesterday's news.
Well, there's post up on there with a comment from me, and my comment has well, let me put it this way: I'm yelling, "Cover up, cover up, cover up," and that's what it is. It's a cover up. Nothing's gonna change.
Well, that's as long as these people are in control in Washington, you're absolutely right. Nothing is going to change.
And that is just. And these people claim to support the troops. My fat butt.
Well, you know, I saw one of those Chinese ribbon magnets on a car today, and I've gotten to where that they are physically painful for me to even look at.
I've gotten to the point where I'm almost to the point where I'm going, you know, I'm almost to the point where I'm going to be going over there and screaming at the person.
Well, I think it, you know, I don't know if we engage in this kind of discourse in this country anymore, Susan, but, you know, when you see one of those people, by the way, have you seen the Walter Reed story?
Yeah.
Do you think the Bush administration is supporting the troops? I mean, is it fair to ask that kind of a question in the United States anymore? Can we talk American to American that way anymore?
I don't know. If somebody believes that just buying a $3 cheap sticker made by slave labor in China is supporting the troops.
Well, this was a new one. On the one hand, down one leg of the ribbon, it was yellow. Down the other leg of the ribbon, it was American flag style. And down the yellow side, it said, "Pray for their safe return."
Oh, give me a break.
You know, I was, you know, we've all heard, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Don't sit around praying for their safe return. Get out there in the streets and demand their safe return.
Yeah, I went out and, I went out and did something different. When we needed to replace our flag, because my husband's a veteran and we fly the flag.
Right.
We got a peace flag. It's got 50 stars, but they're arranged in a peace symbol.
That's cool. You know, one of the things in the course of cleaning out and getting rid of and just doing the stuff that I'm having to do down here, Susan, some of which is kind of, you know, emotionally icky.
Yeah.
My dad flew the flag. And
yeah.
in his memory, I do too, on days that aren't inclement. But I found, in the course of cleaning stuff out, I found, Susan, an American flag. And it is tattered, and it is torn, and it is faded, and it is worn out, and it is in among, you know, it was put away for a specific purpose, because my father was going to burn that flag. Because that's what you do with that kind of flag,
right?
And I'm gonna try to do that for him.
You dispose of it honorably by fire.
I can't throw that in the garbage.
No.
You know, I can't put that in the same bag with the coffee grounds and put it out on Thursdays for the, you know, for the local truck to come and get.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. These people who go around, you know. And they're all Republicans, and they're flying their flags, you know, so on and so forth, all night long. They know nothing of flag protocol. They're ignorant.
Yes, they are.
And they're claiming, yeah, I support the troops. Right. Tell me you support the troops just about as much as you know about flag protocol. Not at all.
Well, precisely, and that's the thing. I get some grief from time to time about the way I feel about right wingers. but they haven't given me anything to think that my impression of them is wrong. And they treat the, you know, I'm sure, I know for a fact that if things slow down a little bit in the Congress, there will immediately be a flag burning amendment introduced, especially close to the 2008 elections by the Republicans in Congress. Well, them Democrats, they're godless commies, and they don't love the flag like Jesus does.
And that's the way you're supposed to dispose of a flag, is by burning it.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, these people are so
drives
stupid.
Them, yeah.
If the that article from the Army Times is up on our blog, I want people to go up there, read it, call their congressman, and say, what are you doing about this? I've already done it. Scream
okay.
at your congressman.
Demand accountability.
Yes.
You know, that general deserves something a little bit more than you're doing a heck of a job. And if they give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I think we need to have it. You can have a fit.
Yes, but in the meantime, scream at your congressman. Say, hey, why are we giving these guys all of this money? You need to demand to know where this money is going. And by the way, I've heard a lot of people yelling, about, well, where is the head of the VA? Walt Reed's not under the aegis of the VA. It's directly
that's
under
regular
the
Army, right?
Department of the Defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's regular Army. It's not a VA issue. It's not a VA hospital per se.
Yeah. The VA is a wreck, but that's another issue.
Right, and the other part of that issue, Susan, is the fact that it's not like the Pentagon is hurting for money.
God, no. The Pentagon is one of the few places in the government that isn't hurting for money.
They're just swimming in it.
Oh,
Susan, thank you for all that. We've got to hit our break. I'm trying to be much better and hit regular breaks.
Yes.
Makes Agnes happy. So we'll talk to you soon, but thank you for keeping a light on all of this. Take care.
You have a wonderful night.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll come back. More of your phone calls if you're so inclined. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network. You can find us, of course, at headonradionetwork.com. If you're listening to the program for the first time or you're a relatively new listener, feel free to jump into the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com. A lot of wonderful people there, a well-moderated little group, and some great discussions go on during the program. Sometimes I get positively ADD trying to keep up with what we're doing here and what's going on in the chat room. But jump on in if you want to. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is the Horn. We are America's liberal voice, and we will be back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
I'm a soul drifter, and I'm out of this town. Ain't no use hanging around, you see. My heart was broken, my part was spoken. Now the ground has
25 and a half minutes before the hour, and we return immediately to the phones. I kept Sarge on hold forever last night, and I apologize for doing that, but I'm not going to do it this time, Sarge. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Oh. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
There you are. Doing good. You?
Oh, hanging in there. Hey, I found something I got to tell you about. I'm sure some of the listeners would be really thrilled to hear this themselves. But, you know, I've got this degeneration problem in my knees, my back, and all that. I have found something that is wonderful for it. Take green tea, take a teaspoonful of pure honey, not honey that's constant, you know, that's, you know, manipulated and all that, but
yeah,
pure
raw honey.
Right. And put it in the green tea, cut a teaspoon in the green tea, and drink that. And would you believe within a matter of a week you can actually start feeling the difference?
I'm not surprised.
I walked to town today, and that's been. The last time I walked to town, I had to have someone drive me home. I was in so much pain. I walked to town and back today, and I was still hurting when I got home. But the amount had dropped off to a level where it was significantly noticeable. So anybody who's having problems with degenerative arthritis and stuff like this, hey, give it a try. I think you'll be glad you did.
How far of a walk is it for, to go to town for you, Sarge?
About 3 miles. Which on degenerative you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
On my knees.
on bum knees.
On bum knees. Hope. Thank you. That's really a task, and nobody around this town will even bother to give you a ride. Even if they know you, they won't, because you don't fit into their Southern Baptist church anymore. And you're not one of them Southern Baptists, so they don't want nothing to do with you.
Or maybe, well, not just, you know, we hammer on the Baptists, but it's not just them. There's all kinds of, yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, well, you see, I got a double dose of it. I was a Southern Baptist all my life until 83, and then in 83 I became a Mormon. So I just went from one bad thing to the other, and finally I said,
Dude, you did not trade up.
Yeah, it was not a good trade-off at all, and I wasn't happy either place, so I finally found my knack in life, and it's called agnostic. So, But listen, what I wanted to mention, this Walter Reed stuff. I've been talking with a colonel, and I won't say exactly where he was, but he's in this funny-shaped building. Mm-hmm. And he's been telling me that there's a lot of lies that's being filtered into the Pentagon, and there's a lot of stuff that's making the people in the Pentagon very angry, and it's filtering in from contractors. Like, they'll know for sure that certain products are just pure garbage, that they should not spend one red cent on it, but because of connections, they are. And it doesn't matter what the Pentagon or the lower ranking people in the Pentagon think, they either take it or they're in trouble. So that's what we're facing with there. And that's why you have they told me there is a new IED, but it's actually more powerful than the ones that they've been encountering before. And these are actually more of a threat than at any point in time since we went into Iraq. And this problem is not being addressed.
Not surprising. Right now, the biggest thing they're focusing on Iraq is trying to figure out a way to use Iraq to create casus belli for Iran.
Yeah, it's really, and now it's like moving those Patriot missile batteries over there. I have yet to see one single report of any of the insurgency using missiles. That you would use a Patriot missile for.
No. This, and nor will you, Sarge. This is entirely about the saber rattling at the Iranians.
Yeah, and I tell you, Americans better wake up. These guys can't even handle the Mississippi Gulf Coast. How in the world are they going to handle the Persian Gulf? Our troops are in the wrong Gulf, as I've said.
We're going to get that bumper sticker made yet.
Yes, I'd love to see it. Bob, I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to check in and give you that news from that funny-shaped building. I'm not going to say where.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll talk to you later, Bob. Thank you, buddy.
All right, later. Yeah, it's definitely not anywhere near the nation's capital or anything. It wouldn't have several sides, but no, okay, I understand. And we roll on to our good friend Cody calling in. Hey, Cody, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Bob. I just wanted to mark a milestone here. You guys were the first to really take notice of Josh Wolf. He's now the longest incarcerated journalist in American history for refusing to testify and divulge his unpublished footage to a grand jury. And this evening in San Francisco, the DCCC will be hearing arguments and will be voting on a resolution whether to condemn this unconscionable federal intervention into a local matter of jailing journalists. It's as terrible as it sounds.
How long exactly has he been in now, Cody?
It's in excess of 180 days. And I mean, he's in a federal prison in Dublin, California, against the explicit orders of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, issued a resolution condemning this federal intervention. The local authorities, the local prosecuting attorney, has no interest in Josh. Neither did the attorney general at the time of our state. And in fact, the federal regulations state that when you jail a journalist, you're supposed to get express authority from Alberto Gonzalez, but he was skipped. They just, the local arm of the federal government here in San Francisco, just went ahead and did it anyway, willy-nilly. And
so this is basically what you're describing here is a U.S. district attorney for, I guess what, the Northern District of California that's out of control?
Absolutely, he's out of control, and it's just an arbitrary fishing expedition. I mean, the court transcripts on page 111, the U.S. attorney unequivocally puts out his reasons for holding Josh in contempt is that they believe that his uncut footage, which the cut footage aired on three of her local television stations, contains evidence of somebody throwing a firecracker, quote firecracker, at a police vehicle that didn't belong to the federal government, that belonged to the city of San Francisco. And the San Francisco police have said that they hadn't suffered any arson. But that's their that's the federal grounds for this for holding a journalist in contempt for over 6 months.
This story, Cody, never stops just being
It's completely absurd.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of squint and what the hell? You know, this is America. North Korea or old Soviet or Maoist, Stalinist, whatever you want to call it. And for those who are new to the program, because there are a bunch of new listeners, maybe you should give a little bit of a background. We're talking about Josh Wolf, a journalist. He was initially called a blogger, and treated with disdain, right?
Well, absolutely, but there's a big distinction between just a blogger and a journalist. I mean, Josh was the executive director of a community college television outreach station. He was in his last semester at San Francisco State University when he was put in prison. He had contributed articles to the San Francisco Guardian, which is a newspaper, and for indie media, and sold these videos. He would go out and make these videos of stuff in San Francisco that didn't get published, and he would sell these tapes to local stations. I mean, the largest union of journalists in the country, the Society of Professional Journalists, has given him both the Journalist of the Year Award and the James Madison Award. So, but the mainstream media still refuses to take notice, and it's not the reporters, it's the editors, corporate administration that are refusing journalists to really write about this the way that they should.
Well, what's going on with the movement right now, the people who are supporting him? You mentioned the DCCC.
I'm going to speak at the DCCC this evening, and we hope that they will pass a resolution in our favor. If they do, then Nancy Pelosi has to address this. She's been hiding behind separation of powers, which is, you know, is a fallacy in and of itself, that she can't do anything when it's in the Constitution that the Congress takes care of the judges that are misbehaving, you know, or local Board of Supervisors referred to the judge who jailed Wolf as an alleged judge. And, you know, Congress absolutely has the authority to do something about this. They could pass John Conyers' bill that would free Josh, that would establish a federal shield law. It's really what we need. 49 states and the District of Columbia have federal shield journalist shield laws. The state of California has a shield law, but the federal government does not, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put pressure on elected officials to get behind Conyers, make this a serious issue, because right now it's a back burner issue as far as everyone in Congress is concerned, and get this law passed, because, I mean, when you got 49 out of 50 states supporting something, it's time for the federal government to follow suit.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Have you had any communications with Josh?
Yeah, about every couple of weeks I get a letter from him. And he also blogs consistently at joshwolf.net. If anybody wants to know about Josh, you go to joshwolfnoe.net, and you can read his blog. He's constantly writing about the situation there.
Well, how are his spirits?
You know, his spirits are good. The problem is that he's being held in coercive custody, so the government is making the case that when he gets discouraged, he'll buckle and give them what they want and betray his sources and give up on unpublished material, which would be detrimental to his career as a journalist. PBS Frontline did a special about Josh and the other journalists who have been who pretty much been waging a news war with the federal government, and the established media has said if we ever divulge our sources and bow down to the government, our careers are over. No one's going to have any confidence in us again.
Well, but if he wants, and you know, if Josh intends to continue this journalistic career, he cannot knuckle under to them.
Yeah, that's the point. And an editor at the Chronicle put out a hit piece with a lot of holes in our story, Deborah Sanders, yesterday, and it was terrible because there's been some good editorials in the San Francisco Chronicle about Josh and some really bad ones, and yesterday there was a really bad one, and you know, anybody that just does a little bit of research and then reads the editorials see how much holes are in them, and that just reinforces my strong belief that if you're going to be reading the newspaper, before you believe what you read the newspaper, you really got to check it out yourself, because people in there that are just writing to persuade you to think something that isn't true.
Well, I, you know, on back as background to all of this, Cody, and you are certainly more familiar with the nuts and bolts than I am. If this withheld material is so important, could the federal prosecutor not obtain a search warrant and send the FBI hither, thither, and yon until they find it?
Well, it's interesting because what they did is they hit him with a subpoena for all. They're using the grand jury to do an end run around California's shield law. That's very pivotal here, is that they have to use the grand jury to do this. You bring up search warrant, but Josh Wolf isn't being accused of committing any crime, and he's not under investigation for any kind of crime. He's just being held in civil contempt, which they can hold him there for up to 18 months on the civil contempt charge. And they've subpoenaed not just his tape, but his cameras, his computers, his hard drives, all of his notes, and his testimony. And that's what that's why he's firmly standing against this.
You know, I guess what I'm getting at, Cody, is that somehow along the way, it would seem to me that the government has some duty to mitigate.
Well, yeah, well, you'd think so. And Wolf's attorneys made a great media. Good faith effort to resolve this. They said, okay, the government, you think this tape is so important, we'll bring in the tape, the whole unedited cutting room floor clippings, everything you want, and we'll show it to the judge. We just do not want to show it to the grand jury room so it becomes a fishing expedition. But if you think that this contains evidence of a crime, which it does not, we believe that it does not show evidence of crimes, but we believe so strongly in this that we'll show the judge this. And the judge said no twice. He said, I do not want to view it, and that's the end of it. You're going to jail.
I'm no Perry Mason, and certainly no leading light or anything like that. None of this makes sense. I mean, is there anybody out there making a credible argument for why he should be imprisoned?
Absolutely not. The credible argument, and this is Amy Goodman wrote about this, and it's very easy to find. She quotes the prosecutor. He says that his credible argument is that Josh is only a journalist in his imagination. Well, by that token, the Society of Professional Journalists have an equally wide imagination, and several other writers' unions have come out. I mean, there's a laundry list of writers' unions that have extended support for Josh and have accepted Josh. And this is not just on a local level, but on a national level, recognized Josh as a journalist, and under the state case law, the courts in the state have recognized internet publication as an act of journalism.
Well, you know, you've mentioned his team of lawyers. How's he managing all of it? My God, the legal bills themselves must be enough to. I mean, it's worse than student loans at this point, isn't it?
Exponential, bearing in on $100,000. And the National Lawyers Guild has been fighting his case for him, and the most generous grant, he's definitely in need of funds right now, because the Society of Professional Journalists made a $30,000 grant to him, the largest in their history, but he's still in debt about $70,000. So, I mean, if anybody has a few bucks, they can drop by joshwolf.net and make a contribution, because it's dragging on forever and forever. One good positive light is that after we had a press rally on the City Hall in San Francisco, the judge actually appointed a magistrate to try to mediate the situation and maybe make some kind of a compromise. So, I mean, that is on the horizon, but even if they do make a compromise and they let Josh out, we still haven't solved the problem. The problem is we need a federal shield law to protect journalist sources, so that we don't have any more Judith Millers, we don't have any more Josh Wolfs, any more of this jailing journalists when you want to.
No, it's just a stunning business, and you mentioned the National Lawyers Guild. Good organization.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if most people, when they hear about lawyer organizations, they think of the ABA, the American Bar Association. There was a time when the ABA would not let African Americans be a member.
Well, it does have some elements of conservative nature. I mean, the National Lawyers Guild puts their number out for people who are harassed, that you can call and get free help, and they really do a lot of great public service.
Yes, they do, and that was that's what I'm saying. Their genesis was as a response to the ABA, and it looks like they're still living up to their original intent.
Yeah, it's something else, Bob, and I mean we're just trying to build momentum and trying to build some more support because we have to do it on the alternative scene. We can't do it on the main stage, on the main television programs, Anderson Cooper and whatnot. They aren't taking notice of this. That's why we have to network with the Horn, with the Bloggersphere, bloggers listening. Please, visit joshwolf.net, visit powersandmorrison.com. Get some information and put your take out there because we really need some more support. If we can really show that we can get some support in the citizens' media, I think the mainstream media will take notice.
And you point something up there, Cody. The necessity, and again, this goes back to the Fourth Estate not doing the Fourth Estate's job right now, because I've said it before. I don't know if these people understand. But if it's Josh, it's them too.
Yeah, they did the same. It's sort of diverging there. When you say it's the San Francisco Chronicle had two reporters, Lance Williams and Mark Wada, who were held in civil contempt over the steroids Barry Bonds case.
Right.
And Wolf was held in civil contempt. Now, what's the difference between them? Well, Wolf goes to jail for 6 months. These other journalists stay out on their own recognizance, pending all of their appeals, pending all of the litigation, and it drags out. And they don't have to do a day in jail. And this, in the case of the Chronicle reporters, is now over. And they think that you're right. It is sort of their butts on the line too, but they get treated differently than Wolf does. I mean, if you're a independent journalist, freelancing, doing piece work, you're going to go to jail. But if you work for an establishment media conglomerate, then you're going to not go to jail.
Well, that really is the long and the short of it. What about the grand jury proceeding itself, Cody? I mean, this is about this so-called firecracker incident. They're trying to find some mad firecracker flinging arsonist somewhere in the Bay Area.
Exactly, and it's not a federal vehicle, and this is their jurisdiction. They say that because the joint terrorism bill or whatever it was gives federal money to local municipalities to buy more police uniforms and cars and whatnot, they make donations in the San Francisco General Fund, the federal government does. They also make donations for roads and schools, but also for law enforcement, and a percentage of that money, no matter how small, paid for this vehicle in question, and that's their legal acrobatics to invoke jurisdiction over this matter. I mean, there's a lot of mud flinging out there that this is about investigating an officer who was injured. There was an officer injured at this protest, but Wolf didn't capture any of that on his tape, and the local authorities investigated it, and they ended up dropping the case because one of the officers who were involved in this protest actually drove their vehicle into a crowd of protesters and beat protesters, and that's why this has been shoved under the rug at the local level. The local authorities don't want any kind of light coming onto this, but at the federal government, they're saying that because someone threw a firecracker at a police vehicle that was paid in part by federal funds, they have jurisdiction to go and jail Josh for not giving his not testifying and not giving his footage.
That's just amazing. And is there any credible evidence that he could finger the firecracker flinger?
Well, the person, according to the San Francisco Police Department, they arrested the person who was supposedly who was lighting fireworks. I mean, keep in mind this is July 8, 2005, so right after the 4th of July. But no, there's no evidence because Josh was filming this officer choking a man by the name of Gabe Myers, and he all of his camera attention, and this video is available at the website. You can watch the video of Josh is filming an officer holding a protester in a chokehold. He's not filming anything else. And in the background, you can see like a little smoke bomb or something, some fireworks in a festive manner. I mean, there's no arson. I mean, bottom line, there's a link on my website, powersandmorrison.com. It takes you to ABC 7, our local affiliate, and the police report from the San Francisco PD is there on the ABC affiliate website. And you can see that there was no arson in the police department, in the police report. So, I mean, it's just a joke. There was no arson. We know this because
this is,
the police
this is just,
said there
this
was.
Is just strong-arm thuggery, pure
it
and simple.
It is thuggery. The 600-pound gorilla is in the room, and it's the federal government, and there's no free speech anywhere where the government gives funds now, not in schools where you get federal funds, not in roads where they get federal funds. I mean, what happened to the 10th Amendment? There are no states' rights.
No, there are none of those, and the other nine are coughing up blood on the porch.
Well, what do you need for an authoritarian government? You need a strong, centralized government, and you have to put the power in a centralized federal government. That's what that's how authoritarian governments throughout history have all operated on, and that's what they're doing here, just slowly but surely. Pushing out of the way local authority. There is no local authority. There's only federal authority, and they're going to do what's best for you.
Just mind-blowing. Keep us up to date, would you, Cody? And thank you very kindly for marking this 180-day...
Yeah, thanks for having
fiasco.
Me.
Fiasco.
Fiasco.
Thank you, Cody. Take care.
Bye.
JoshWolf.net. JoshWolf.net. No E on the wolf. Go and have a look. Dig it. The video is out there for you to watch, but some, there's an old gag out there about what do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 40, Your Honor. This is, Josh Wolf is truly a travesty of justice, a miscarriage of justice. And this federal judge in San Francisco has made a mockery of the idea of an independent judiciary. JoshWolf.net and PowersandMorrison.com. Go by, look, see this, and if you blog that kind of thing, put some light on this, because the professional media ain't got it. This is the Head On Radio Network. It's time for the news. We'll come back. Your phone calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones regained some ground today and quelled investor fears after its 416-point tumble yesterday. Positive comments from Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke before Congress today offered encouragement about the economy. We'll have the closing numbers for you later in business news. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats are working on a new anti-war proposal, one they hope will gain bipartisan support. The revised plan will not call for cutting off funds to the military, but instead it will require President Bush to acknowledge shortfalls in equipment for troops and other problems and to report to Congress. Iran and Syria will participate in a joint U.S.-Iraqi security summit tentatively set for mid-March. In a crowded Baghdad market today, at least 10 people were killed in a car bomb blast. 20 were wounded. Next week, Jordan's King Abdullah will address the U.S. Congress. The March 7th speech is expected to focus on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Here at home, Senator Barack Obama is gaining ground on Senator Rodham Clinton in the race for the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination. That's according to the latest Washington Post ABC News political poll. Obama has growing support among black voters who were previously backing Clinton. And on the Republican side, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has increased his lead over rival Senator John McCain. At least 20 states are planning to hold their primaries on February 5th. Many states are moving up their primary dates so that they can have a bigger impact on the selection of the 2008 presidential candidates. The State Department announced that the U.S. and North Korean officials will meet next week in New York. They'll work out what preliminary steps need to be taken to begin restoring normal relations between the two countries. Earlier this month, a nuclear disarmament agreement was signed in China. And the Roman Catholic Diocese of San Diego has decided to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The diocese made the move just before the first of 140 priest abuse lawsuits was set to go to trial. The bankruptcy filing put a halt to the court proceedings. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
The FDA has approved the first drug designed to help carsick canines. Pfizer's Serenia helps prevent and treat vomiting. In motion sick dogs, the drug will help reduce the risk of dehydration that can be caused by throwing up. And Australian researchers say that 20 new species of sharks and rays have been discovered at local fish markets in Indonesia. The scientists simply surveyed the catches at local fish markets for 5 years. And the New York City health inspector, who gave a passing grade to a rat-infested KFC Taco Bell restaurant, has been removed from field duty. A news crew videotaped the rat scurrying around the floor and the counters of the Greenwich Village establishment, and that restaurant is now closed. As part of a restructuring plan, Airbus announced it will cut 10,000 jobs over 4 years. And Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told the Congressional House Budget Committee that the financial markets appear to be working well. He added that the administration and federal regulators are keeping a close eye on the markets. That's after yesterday's slide. Today, those markets gained a little ground. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 52 points at 12,268. The NASDAQ was up 8 points. The S&P 500 was up 8 points to close at 1406. And there's more news at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, I'll have a bucket of extra crispy and a side of rat. You know, of course, you know, from a labor standpoint, it's worth pointing out that people who are adequately paid don't let the places they work turn into that sort of thing. People who are adequately represented. But, you know, when you're running a KFC and you can't keep an employee for more than 2 or 3 weeks because you work them to death and you don't pay them worth a damn, you're going to wind up with stores. And, you know, let's be fair, it wasn't just KFC. It was a KFC Taco Bell combo. So you can either get the bucket of extra crispy with a side of rat, or you can get the Gordita del Rat. Yuck. Just yuck. But it's the thing with the on. You know, last week we talked about the fact that we've managed to come up with a nation that can't even get peanut butter right. And I think it was our good friend David in Tennessee who pointed out that if ConAgra had a dedicated workforce, adequately represented, unionized, maybe you wouldn't wind up with salmonella in the peanut butter. So, you know, it just is what it is. And there's a little something going on tomorrow, Thursday, the first day of March, in the House of Representatives that is worthy of note. I would encourage you to pay attention, please, to how your representatives vote, or your representative. It's a vote in the House. The vote is tomorrow, unless it gets delayed, on the Employee Free Choice Act in the House of Representatives. Now, we have talked about this at some length. Quite frankly, the Employee Free Choice Act is the linchpin to solving a lot of problems in this country, because it basically establishes a democratic process for allowing people to decide whether or not they want to bargain for a better life, be a member of a union, hold their employers to some level of accountability. And tomorrow, there is a vote in the House of Representatives on the Employees Free Choice Act. Odds are it'll pass. But bear in mind, given the political makeup of what we have to deal with in Washington these days, passing the bill is not enough. Not by any stretch of the imagination. We need a strong message. You can go to unionvoice.org and maybe get a better idea of who's supporting, who's wavering, who's opposing. This needs to be a veto-proof vote. I don't know that it will be. In my home state of West Virginia, we know that Nick Joe Rahal, my congressman, is on board with it. We know that Alan Mollahan is on board with it. We've only got one other member of Congress, and that is Shelley Moore Capito. And she, of course, is the daughter of the filthiest, rottenest, most hideously corrupt politician ever to step into government in West Virginia, a creep named Arch Moore. This is back when the Buffalo Creek disaster happened in, 1972? Was it 35 years ago? This month? Tried to block journalists from going to the disaster scene by saying, what was the excuse that they would confuse people? So Shelley Moore Capito is not online. Of course, it's no surprise that Shelley Moore Capito is a soulless, godless Republican. And I frankly don't want her on board with it. I don't know, because then, you know, people will know once and for all where she stands, that she stands against working people. But we do need a veto-proof majority in the House, because it won't just send a message to the White House, it'll send a message to the Senate, because the Senate is where the fight's going to be. And David, well, I want to go into this later this evening, but David Sirota had a very interesting posting today at Working for Change about an email that went out from some Democratic Senate offices that I think you're going to find quite horrifying, and it's one of those stories that I hate to see come down the pike, because it calls a lot of motivation, a lot of intent into question, and points up just how hard we have to work to keep focused on democratic values, even among those representatives who or those senators who are a member of our own party. I want to go to the phones right now. Sherry Eichholz is online, calling with regard to a trip that Veterans for Peace is going to make down to the Gulf. Sherry, are you there?
Yes, Bob. How are you?
I'm very well. I trust you're well as well.
Oh, busy, but yes, sir, very well.
Well, busy is good in this instance, because Veterans for Peace is this is a heroic undertaking on your part. Tell us a little bit about where you're going and what you're doing here in the near future.
Well, in a nutshell, Veterans for Peace and other groups are going to converge on Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of the Army's Fort Bragg, on March 17th, next month, for the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. following that, we are going to depart on Tuesday. We're going to spend several days in Fayetteville. And then on Tuesday, we're going to leave, and we're going to stop in five more military towns in the southeast. And in each town, we're going to work diligently. We're going to have a group of veterans, and we're going to have certainly Iraq veterans. We're going to have military families. We're going to have Gold Star families, which are people who have lost someone in this war, in this conflict. And we'll have others on the way, other peace activists. But we're going to work to engage the active duty military communities in a discussion about the absurdity of this war and the power of their voice to incite change in it. When we finish that week, then we're gonna embark on a week of working on building homes in the Gulf. We're gonna go to Pascagoula, Mississippi, and my original idea was vets building for vets. Kind of evolved since then, and it's gonna be vets and friends building. Period. For people who cannot or who would not have been able to build for themselves again.
This is a pretty monumental undertaking.
It's huge, and it's Veterans for Peace. Our motto is veterans working together for peace and justice. And this project, these 2 weeks, are the epitome of peace and justice. And it is a huge undertaking. It is so vitally important at this time, though. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know about the appeal for redress. We're going to have people who have signed the appeal. I talked to an E-9, which is a chief master sergeant in the Air Force, tonight, and he is going to get involved with this, or he's already signed the appeal, and he's going to be on board with us in Fayetteville. That is a significant petition that they've got going, and it's this whole project has an enormous amount of potential, and something simply has to be done. And we feel this is a good way to really start something.
How did this idea develop?
Veterans for Peace, immediately after Hurricane Katrina, we had a bus tour going on at that time, and some of the buses were all going from Crawford, Texas. Because following our convention, we went with Cindy Sheehan, and we decided to go and visit President Bush. So there were a bunch of people in Crawford, and we decided then to have a bus tour, you know, with demonstrations and rallies along the way, which would end then in Washington, D.C., where there was going to be, you know, one of these big demonstrations like there is every so often. So this bus was going through the South, and they had only been on the road a couple days when the hurricane came, and this particular bus just stopped. And they just got out of that bus, and they had medics from the Army on board. They had people. They had some people who were not trained at all, but they just got out, and they started to help. And Michael Moore's people got involved, and one thing led to another, and they ended up being there several months. And in that time, Veterans for Peace and other partner organizations, we stayed, we helped, we raised money, we did humanitarian aid, and were there for a significant amount of time, and in large part before our own government was there. So that was kind of the first part, and then the second part was we went back last year, and six, 8 months after the hurricanes, we went back and we said, gosh, this is still not right, you know, and this is, nobody's working to make this right. We did a march last year, and the theme of it was every bomb dropped over Iraq explodes over the Gulf Coast, and that is still the case. So we decided that we needed to go back this year and get our members back down there and again bring up this tragic, these twin tragedies that are happening in our country and overseas. Something's got to be done.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and we talk about that at considerable length on this program and the other programs on the Horn, Cherie. What kind of a, I mean, where are you coming to Fayetteville from?
I am born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And the National Office of Veterans for Peace is based in, we are in St. Louis, Missouri. And Veterans for Peace, however, will be coming from all corners of the country. We've got a couple of buses that are going to be coming on our convoy. One's coming from California, Northern California, and the other's coming from Phoenix. So people are going to be coming from everywhere.
And I mean, this is the peaceful demonstration. This is educational, because I noticed you're also going to be workshopping. You're going to be doing presentations. It's not just a matter of standing there with a bunch of signs hollering. Hey, hey, ho, ho! This is, and I'm not trying to be flip about that, but
sure.
This is a real attempt to bring real change.
It is a coordinated effort to dialogue with people, with men and women in uniform, on a personal level. It's not holding a sign and, you know, with your two fingers up in the air. It's not that at all. It's a eye to eye, you know, face to face contact. I mean, we'll part of it is we'll be going into restaurants and bars, and we'll be, you know, looking in malls, shopping malls, you know, trying to find where soldiers hang out, and just engage them, and because, you know, quite frankly, nobody does. You know, I was on a conference call earlier today, and they said what is the news program that military bases have? It's Fox News. That's what they want.
Oh yeah.
And you know, so again, they don't get this side of the story. So it is too important. And
to be clear, you're not, you know, this is not by any stretch, by criticizing the war. And I know the right wing has a hard time understanding this, Cherie. So let's make this, you know, crystal clear. Criticizing the war is not criticizing the people who are fighting it.
Bob, my brother came back from Iraq less than 4 months ago. I joined the Army after 9/11. This is by no stretch of the imagination criticizing the Army or any single soldier in it, or sailor or Marine, etc. We are as pro-soldier as the hawk in the next town. We really are. And many of us have people in uniform right now I do not want to see my brother go back, and he will go back. He's got enough time left of his contract. He will go back if this does not stop.
Well, this, you know, I would suggest to you, Cherie, that you and others like you there in Veterans for Peace actually know the real meaning, because you're veterans, that you know the real meaning of supporting the troops. I started out this program talking about some of the idleness that somehow or another we think that that magnet on the back of an SUV somehow constitutes supporting the troops. That's not. Supporting the troops is about getting them home. It's about seeing to it that they have adequate medical care. About seeing to it that they're not mistreated at Walter Reed. It's a far more complex process, and it seems to me that Veterans for Peace has a much better handle on it than the people on the right who just idly say that if you're not for bombing third world countries, you're somehow not supporting the troops.
Indeed. I mean, these are, you know, by and large Vietnam veterans, that we have veterans from every era dating to World War II. Personally, I know a number of 80-year-old members, and certainly not to criticize anybody listening to this program who's 80 years old or more, but you know, when I see a person who is 80-something years old, I think of my grandfather, and for him or someone like that to join an organization like this, it is not a decision people come to lightly. I appreciate that tremendously. But these are people who genuinely love and care for our men and women in uniform. And when our men and women in uniform say, you know, great percentages of them say, we do not need to be there, that we need to come home. It's too long. It's too much. We need to listen to what they're saying.
Well, we've got a news story that's running in our top of the hour news, Cherie, talking about how the Democrats now say that they've got a new plan. They're not going to defund the war. Instead, they're going to make the president acknowledge mistakes. And I heard that, and my eyes rolled back in my head because nobody else has made him acknowledge a mistake thus far. And somehow or another, I mean, Veterans for Peace wants an end, right? I mean, you want it over, and you don't want to start the next one.
No. We you know, if this doesn't stop, Iran will be next. With little doubt, Iran will be next, and it won't be long.
And there's no right now. Some of the I noticed in the media that we're there's an attempt to mollify the American people by saying, "Well, if there's a war," because I heard a so-called expert talking about it. Well, you know, if we do attack Iran, it's not like we're going to be using ground troops. You know, this will just be missiles and planes and bombs. That's unacceptable too, right?
It is so unacceptable. When a soldier from St. Louis dies. When we lose one from here, you know, we hear about it on the news, on our local news certainly. We hear about his family, his wife, his children. You know, he was a high school football player. He was a straight A student. He was, you know, X, Y, and Z. But you and I haven't even talked about the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis who have been killed in this. You know, sure, we can say we will not have a land war, sure, it'll be all airstrikes. You know, how many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people would that affect? We as Americans, unfortunately, it seems we are callous to the numbers of Iraqis who have been killed in this. You know, for our one person who died here, we're talking about thousands upon thousands that have died over there. And there is just little thinking about what this person was. He was a store owner. He was a husband. He was a, you know, maybe a
farmer, a flower seller, a bricklayer.
Yeah. Yes.
Human beings who had human lives, who had hopes and dreams, aspirations, who until a few years ago might have even had a decent life. There has been no effort. You're absolutely right, Cherie. No effort, except in more liberal and progressive corners, to even try to what would you say, to commune with their existence, and to understand what it is that we have done to them.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Vietnam. How many civilians did we kill? Over a million.
Oh.
Easily.
I'm sure.
And, you know, there's a vast part of this, the population of this country that says, well, you know, that's the war we lost.
Huh.
And that's the way we look at it. Something is fundamentally wrong, and I think that is part of why I so thoroughly respect what it is that you're doing, because you are trying to put a human face on this.
Mm-hmm.
A human face on the soldiers and the sailors that we don't see. I mean, look, you know, maybe, like you said, on the evening news, if somebody dies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Nightline ran the show that was just going to repeat the numbers of the dead, it was blacked out by right wing broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to see that sort of thing. We're not allowed to think about it, because if it's out of our sight, maybe they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I hope you can garner not hundreds but thousands of people. Beginning in Fayetteville, North Carolina, at Camp Lejeune, and going all the way down to the Gulf Coast.
Indeed,
this is so very, very important. If anyone wants to get involved or support your effort, how can they do that?
VeteransForPeace.org. VeteransForPeace.org, and it's FOR. Just come to that website, and right there on the right hand margin, there's a little box, and it says, defund the war, rebuild the Gulf. And that's what we're trying to do.
And every bomb that falls on, every bomb that falls on Iraq explodes over the Gulf Coast?
Exactly.
I haven't heard it put so eloquently, and that is exactly what happened. So it's Camp Lejeune, it's Fort Jackson, South Carolina, it's Fort Stewart, Georgia, Mayport, Jackson Naval Air Station, Fort Benning, Georgia, Maxwell AFB, Montgomery, Alabama, Pascagoula, Mississippi. You are doing this, what you are doing, in an area where if you can have an impact there, it will have an impact that will ripple all across the military community and all across this nation.
Several weeks ago, Bob, the president visited Fort Benning, Georgia, and his reception was less than warm. That was the quote that I heard, less than warm or lukewarm. When I heard that, and I served at Fort Benning, when I heard that his reception was not warm at Fort Benning, I realized that we have a chance here. We have a chance to do something very special. And not only that, we have, again, a chance to incite some kind of change. And it is just invaluable that we act now and we act in significant fashion.
Well, Cherie Eichholz, I thank you very, very much. And I applaud your efforts and I honor your efforts. And I wish you only the best, and I hope perhaps during the time period that you're on the road, you or someone else associated with the group can call and update us here on the program.
Bob, I'd love to.
Wonderful. I'll look forward to hearing from you. Cherie, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
And
you too. Best wishes and best of luck and Godspeed to everything that you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Cherie Eichholz from Veterans for Peace, veteransforpeace.org. Go there. If you can be a part of one of these gatherings, if you can help, do anything that you can. There's a war going, and there's a war starting. End the one and prevent the other. Or you can sit home quietly. Or maybe go shopping. Or get a ribbon and put it on a ribbon magnet and put it on your car. I think I know where you guys come down on this. We'll take our break. We'll come back for your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877-4 head on. Email roars right into bob@headonradio.com. You write, I read. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
From this prison, Lord, help me get away. 'Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? Need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Minutes before the hour, halfway through tonight, prayer meeting edition of Head On, and I'm told we've got somebody on the line that I am just thrilled to talk to. Our good buddy Bruce is with us. Hey, Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Hot diggity spit. How are you?
Did you just say a brown word?
No, I said spit, daggummit. Spit.
Oh, man, I'm doing okay. How are you doing, brother?
Setting them up and knocking them down, you know, just trying to take care of business down here in sunny and 78 degree Alabama.
Is it 78 degrees down there? Oh my goodness! Well, yeah. It was 60 in Greensboro today, so I figure that's about right. That's about right. Tell me something, Bob. What's been going? You know, I have been totally covered up in all kinds of family concerns, et cetera. But I'm really glad to be back on the, you know, to get on the air and talk with you. What's been going on, brother? Tell me what's been happening that I missed, man.
Oh my God, I don't know where to begin. We're all waiting for the other shoe to drop and waiting for, you know, this is when they roll out their new wars. So we're waiting for George to start his new war,
right.
With Iran.
I heard today that they were talking about going into talks with Syria and you know, those evil countries, Iran. Is this true, or is this just a clever ruse?
I heard some mumblings of it, but you know the sad thing is, I don't know that this administration knows how to talk to anybody. Their idea of talking to people is to go in and tell them what to do, and when they don't, you blow them up.
Yeah, when they don't, then it's freedom on the march.
Yeah, exactly. You know, did you see this story that hit out of Seymour Hersh's column within the last couple of days?
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, I saw the interview on one of the news channels where he was basically saying that Dick Cheney, you know, everybody's talking about diplomacy except for Dick, who's saying, you know, all options are on the table, including birdshot in your face kind of stuff, you know. Old dead-eye Dick. But tell me more about it, though.
Well, no, it's hard to say. I personally think that there's probably a lot of truth in what Seymour Hersh says. That it just boggles the mind. We're funding Al Qaeda groups because Al Qaeda groups don't like Hezbollah groups, and right now we hate Hezbollah more than we hate Al Qaeda. It's almost algebraic or some sort of bass-ackwards calculus. The idea that we would suddenly Bandar Bush over in Saudi Arabia is fronting all of this stuff.
Well, you know,
and go ahead.
I guess about 4 or 5 months ago, John Fox and I uncovered several stories wherein there were a number of black op groups that we were funding to go into Iran, but these very to infiltrate Iran and to try to get money into opposition groups in Iran. But the very same groups were groups that were very heavily linked to, not Sistani, what's the other guy over there?
Rafsanjani.
The real bad one, the one that had a wooden leg that ran away.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Zarqawi, the guy we had a chance to kill before the war started, but we decided not to kill him because that would have taken away some of the impetus for the war. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And that apparently these groups were heavily linked with Zarqawi, who, of course, is supposedly heavily linked with Al-Qaeda. So there's this whole circular, jerkular kind of thing going on. Of course, I didn't say it the whole thing. But the point being is that, yeah, you know, when there's that much money flowing around over there, who the hell knows whose hands it ends up in? You know.
Well, it's. I think we're going to find out if we can get anybody to pay attention to it. You know, this is son of Iran-Contra.
Yes.
This is where what's concerning the Bush administration right now is they are scared to death that there is some possibility that funding will be cut. And of course, when funding gets cut for the war, that's not just they've done such a very, very good job, Bruce, and you know how they are. Of this notion that, you know, if we defund the war, American soldiers will be in the streets of Baghdad and they won't have any guns.
Yeah, they'll be wearing flip-flops.
Right, which is, of course, a complete, total, utter lie.
Yes.
It means that we will start having to bring people home.
Or
it's not like we're gonna...
we will start having to actually have bid contracts rather than no-bid contracts. It means that we might actually have to use the Comptroller General for the job that they're designed to be there for, right?
A little congressional oversight, maybe? I mean, you know, I'm crazy.
You know, that is a crazy thought, isn't
it? Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it is, especially, you know, when you think about the fact that before he became vice president, and, you know, this is moments in history, before he became vice president of the United States and ultimately president, when he was a humble senator from Missouri, the junior senator, I think, Harry Truman, in the midst of a Democratic administration, in the midst of World War II, initiated hearings into war profiteering.
Yes.
But the Republican Congress could never be bothered to do that.
No.
And so now, you know, it falls to the Democrats, and I hope to goodness that they live up to the charge that, you know, you and I, me, we, us, we gave them in the election in November.
Well, isn't the Senate Armed Forces Committee chairman now the portly gentleman, of course, that name's half of them. He came out yesterday and I believe was talking about some of that, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm anxious, Bob. very anxious to get back behind a microphone.
We want you to be.
And I think
we miss you badly, and I know you've been going through a lot, and I know you've been dealing with a lot, and you've had the hopes and the thoughts and the prayers of a lot of good folks behind you.
And, you know, and I definitely appreciate that, and I think that those hopes and thoughts and prayers have carried me through a very difficult time in my life. One of the things that I wanted to mention also was just that for those who are listening who have missed my show and who have missed my presence here, that, you know, you mean a great deal to me, an incredible deal to me. And this network has been how can I put it, a huge part of my life. And I want very much to get back in the saddle and bringing some quality programming back. I mean, you know, not that it's not there already, but, you know, my style anyway.
Well, our quality factor fell off a little bit when you
well,
yeah.
I don't, you know, well, thank you, Bob. That's a hell of a compliment. But, you know, and I think later on this evening, Bob, after your show's over, we'll have a bit of a conversation and have a talk about that.
That would be great. I would like that very much. I can't tell you how much you're missed. And, you know, I've been out of the loop down here. I know you've been going through family stuff. And a lot of this centers on fathers.
Yes.
Mine and yours.
Yeah.
Well,
family
and
family.
It's tough. But it's tough stuff to go through, Bruce. It's a realization of what adulthood really means. And it challenges your spirit. It challenges your soul. And all I can do is hope that you're getting through it. I'm sitting here getting hit from different, you know, chatter saying, you know, tell Bruce to call me. Tell Bruce to call me. Tell Bruce to call me. People want to hear from you, man. They think about you. And I hope, you know, it doesn't have to, but it should tell you that people were listening and getting from you something that they weren't getting from other people. you were occupying a place in their spirits and a place in their hearts, and it's a place they want you back in. So, you know, I hope we can make some of that work. Among others, our mutual buddy Wayne wants to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, I imagine that very soon, pending, you know, some last minute tidying up of some things, we will work that out. But, you know, the horn is my home, and you know, all of the folks who have been longtime listeners, you know, I love every one of you guys. You have been an incredible part of my life, and I want you to continue to be. And so, you know, definitely, you know, we'll have that conversation here in a little over an hour or so, Bob, and we'll figure out what the next steps are.
Okay, you should see what's going on in production chat. There's this little Bruce frenzy going on.
Tell him I love. Well, you know what? No, I'll tell him. I love you guys.
Yeah, you know? See? It's better that way. Well, brother, I tell you what.
I wish I could get in on the little chat myself, but I am not don't have access to the internet at the moment. So, but I figured I would call in and just say hello and bring good news, you know, good news that things are working out the way they need to.
Good. So. And we'll talk after the show, and we need to get things back in order if things are back in order for you and you're getting back to that place. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, brother.
All right,
I'm truly looking forward to it. All right, man.
Well,
take it easy.
My friend, put on the stellar show that you always do, and let everyone know that, you know, that I definitely appreciate all the thoughts and prayers and good tidings, and we'll see about getting back on the air pretty soon, eh?
Absolutely. Let me just share it since you're not on the internet.
Okay.
Let's see. I've got a We Love You, Bruce. I've got a Bob, please, from, let's see, that was ELO, We Love You, Bruce. Angelica says we love Bruce, too. Tell him, please. Peter says, tell Bruce he does not want me to come up there. I'll be in drag and I'll make a big scene.
Hey man, that sounds like a good time. What are you talking about?
Nanette says we love you. It goes on. You would be, well, Sarge says it's damn good to hear from you. You know, you're the one, Bruce, more than me. It was you who initiated the idea that we weren't just putting up a radio product, that we weren't just doing shows. You were the one who said that we're community building.
Absolutely.
And you were actively involved in building that community. It is a community that you helped build, and we can't wait for you to get home.
Right on, man. Bob, I love you, brother.
Love you too, man. Take care.
I will, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye now. I'm a little shook. Agnes, can you fire me up some bumper music and let me get my breath together? Please. We'll take a quick break and come back. Your phone calls, hey, you never know where the phone calls are going to come from. 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON, email to Bob at headonradio.com. We will be back with more on this prayer meeting edition. And you know what? Prayers get answered sometimes, even for cranky old agnostics. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kidd.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and we've only got a few minutes before we head to the top of the hour break. That was a very ill-timed break on my part, and I apologize for it, but I just sort of needed to collect my wits. Did you see this thing about Cheney being his own anonymous source? Great. Dan Frumkin wrote about it in the Washington Post. While Big Time Dick was on his world tour to shore up failing support for their miserable attempt at governance through Asia and Australia, the press corps was with him, of course. Seven countries. And yesterday, Tuesday, the 27th of February, he finally deigned to grant an interview. But dig this, and this is the part that blows me away. And I mean, these people are so far down the rabbit hole that nothing makes sense anymore. In granting the interview, Cheney made all the reporters swear, pinky swear, and cross their hearts and hope to die, stick a needle in their eye, that they would only quote him as a senior administration official. And they went along with it. Now, I started out talking a little bit of journalism here on this Wednesday prayer meeting edition of Head On, but, and I found myself back in the journalist that we talked about the mistreatment, and that's even a weak word for it, of Josh Wolf out in San Francisco. So that's journalism, too. Now this. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing from the standpoint of being, you know, an American. You know, with the First Amendment. A thing that has been put up for the rest of the world to model a free press on. And now we've got a free press that won't even participate in its own freedom. At what point do reporters just look at that fat, nasty, cowardly, yellow-bellied infarct walking around waiting to happen and say, screw you, dick! You don't want to talk to us, don't talk to us. But, you know, we don't... the vice president talked on condition of anonymity. But there's a transcript, and he says, I, and I am, and I was, and it's all first person. But they can only quote him on condition of anonymity. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that's just a case of where the organ grinder occasionally kicks the monkey because he can. And then the monkey comes back and takes food from his hand again. That's what the press has made of themselves. Utter contempt for freedom of the press. Dear God. Well, that's a nice end of the hour. Let's come back with your phone calls. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice.
Russet brandy in a diamond glass. Everything is made from dreams. Time is made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means. Temptation. Temptation. Well, I know.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones rebounded today. After a 416-point tumble yesterday, the market closed up 52 points. Some overseas markets also gained ground after yesterday's worldwide sell-off. We'll have the market's closing numbers for you later in the newscast. In Baghdad, a popular commercial district was ripped apart today by a car bomb just after the morning rush hour. At least 10 people were killed. In Pakistan, militants suspected of supporting the Taliban beheaded a 30-year-old cleric they accused of being a U.S. spy. The militants have killed several people in the area recently, always charging their victims were assisting U.S. forces in Afghanistan. Pakistan's president has denied claims by the U.S. intelligence chief that Osama bin Laden is hiding in northwestern Pakistan. A Pakistani official also told the Associated Press that there are no al-Qaeda training camps in the area near the Afghanistan border. Next week, Jordan's King Abdullah will address the U.S. Congress. The March 7th speech is expected to focus on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In London, human rights agencies are asking the White House to reveal the whereabouts of 38 people abducted in the CIA's so-called rendition program. Reuters reports many Europeans consider the clandestine kidnapping and imprisonment of suspects one of the most controversial aspects of the White House war on terror. The U.S. says it will not extradite the 26 CIA agents indicted by the Italian government for abducting a Muslim cleric as part of that rendition program. The cleric was spirited off to Egypt, where he claims he was tortured. The man was later found to be innocent and released. And Senator Barack Obama is gaining ground on Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. That's according to the latest Washington Post ABC News political poll. Obama has growing support among black voters who were previously backing Clinton. On the Republican side, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has increased his lead over rival Senator John McCain. And the Roman Catholic Diocese of San Diego has decided to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The diocese made the move just before the first of 140 priest abuse lawsuits was set to go to trial. More next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs, bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank. bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A new study shows 5- and 6-year-olds gained more weight over the summer than during the school year. The Ohio State study could be pointing the finger at parents for their child's weight and health problems. Schools had previously been considered the main culprit for their vending machine foods and cuts in physical education. The FDA has approved the first drug designed to help carsick canines. Pfizer's Serenia helps prevent and treat vomiting in motion-sick dogs. The drug will help reduce the risk of dehydration that can be caused by throwing up. The New York City health inspector who gave a passing grade to a rat-infested KFC Taco Bell restaurant has been removed from field duty. A television news crew videotaped the rats scurrying around the floor and counters of the Greenwich Village restaurant. That place, that establishment, is now closed. The Commerce Department reports that in the last quarter of last year, the U.S. economy grew at a moderate 2.2% rate. And Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told the Congressional House Budget Committee today that after yesterday's tumble, financial markets appear to be working well. He also said he expects moderate economic growth, words that may have comforted many investors as the markets closed on an up note. The Dow Jones closed up 52 points at 12,268. The NASDAQ was up 8. The S&P up 8 as well. There's more on our website, Quality News Network.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
5.5 minutes past the hour, and where does the time go? Well, it goes into some wonderful conversations, great calls, and what I hope is enjoyable radio for all of you. What I was mentioning before we broke for the news, this just goofy matter of Dick Cheney insisting that he be quoted as a senior administration official. Is this proof that Dick Cheney is going around the bend? That maybe, you know, his artificial baboon heart or whatever it is that's in the place of a human heart in his chest is somehow not getting enough oxygen to his brain? The things that he wanted to be an anonymous official about, as a senior administration official, part of it was to refute the idea that he went over to strong arm Pervez Musharraf in his surprise visit to Pakistan. The senior administration official who wished not to be identified said, "That's not the way I work. The idea that I'd go in and threaten someone is an invalid misreading of the way I do business." That's true. It's not the way he works. He shoots people in the damn face. Let's go to the phones. Cassie joins us, calling from Texas. Hey, Cassie, welcome to the program.
Bob? Hi, Bob.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I'm sorry. I have been listening to the show, but I'm not allowed to go to the chat room anymore until I finish homework. So I'm listening.
Well,
even
you know,
there
are tough rules in life, and getting the homework done before the chat room is probably one of them.
Yeah, well, some things tip below 90, and we're going to bring them back up. So
below 90? Below 90?
Well, 85, yeah.
Well, but I mean, okay. Yeah, got to bring him. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, whatever. But go back up. Anyway, the thing that I was calling about was how the governors, have you heard about the governors meeting in Washington?
I have read a little bit about it, yes.
From all of the states? and that they when they went in to the White House, they told them that they can't ask any questions about Iraq or their soldiers, and they asked questions anyway, and then they got the White House people mad because they all want their soldiers and their National Guardsmen to come home.
You know, you have to be amazed at the nerve of this administration. What I was just talking about and what's here now, what you're talking about, Kathy, who do they think they are to tell other free Americans what questions they can and cannot ask?
It doesn't sound like the way it's supposed to be.
That's what a king does, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, I don't know, please ask him about this and that because we want to get it on the press, but not to say, please don't ask him about that, when it's what, I mean, I think that the governors, all the states have these really big National Guard problems. I don't know if you heard what happened here in Texas when we had our ice storms. Did you hear about that?
What's that?
The governor got on TV on the first day before the ice came, and he said, I'm going to have 300 Humvees, and I'm going to have this many soldiers and this many National Guardsmen and all of this out to do patrols and to help out where there's no power and all of this stuff. Well, Texas didn't have 300 Humvees. And it was
where were they?
And some of the National Guardsmen ended up working like a lot of hours. My brother did 3 20-hour shifts in like 5 days of the ice storm. It's 4 or 5 days of the ice storm. And I think all the other states are exactly the same. I mean, maybe they didn't have a storm to sort of see how bad it is, but.
But if
you know,
it,
we get,
yeah,
we
if
get
it
ice
comes,
storms
we
and we get hurricanes and we get tornadoes. We need our National Guard here. And we need their equipment here. They have no equipment. Even the stuff that was like sitting in the yard, rusting, all of that, all got sent to Iraq the last time with all of the new soldiers. All of the rusty old stuff that you would not want to be driving around Houston or Dallas, much less to go driving around Baghdad. Because when it breaks, it's a problem.
And it's in many instances, these things are worn out and they're old, and when they break down, they stay that way.
Right, and they're not armored. I mean, it's this whole thing about, you know, that they should be up-armored and everything else, it's so much better for the trucks to be armored at the factory, because when they armor them after that, when they put the armor on after, then it's bolted on, and it makes it too heavy. And it makes the truck so that they can turn over, and it makes it so that the engines don't work right because the engine's supposed to work with a certain amount of weight in it, and now it's got too much. It's too heavy.
So it has to be properly engineered from the get-go.
Right. They're much better off if they order the vehicles that come armored and not order the kits. I mean, there's all this stuff about, oh, no, they need the Humvee, Humvee kits and all of that. But even when they put the Humvee kits on, it doesn't protect the floor, and it doesn't protect the roof, and it weighs too much. And that's why all of the soldiers are dying. Because they're just not doing it right, and especially with the National Guard. I think the Army's a little bit better, but the National Guard, it's like they don't have it. I mean, you should see the base here. There's, like, no vehicles. It's, like, empty. And they're doing training and they're doing all this stuff, but there's, like, nothing left.
And the thing is, this isn't new, Cassie. You know, this is the level of negligence that has cost 3,000 American lives, American
right.
military lives.
If it takes a car company a year to make new cars, or it takes them 6 months, like when you, I have a friend whose parents special ordered a car, so they went in and they said, no, we like it like this, and we want this color green, and we want whatever, and they had to wait 5 months to get everything they wanted, right?
Yeah.
So if it's been a war for 4 years, or 5 years if you count Afghanistan, then they needed to be special ordering this 5 years ago. I mean, even if they didn't have it the day they went in, how come they're ordering Humvees and then extra armor instead of ordering the right kind of trucks to begin with?
Well, Cassie, you're asking a question that got asked more than a couple of years ago. I don't know if you recall, but do you remember when Rumsfeld went to...
asking about the armor. He wasn't asking about the right kind of truck.
Yeah, I know, but it's still part of the same inquiry, I think,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And he was asking why
I won't get invited to the White House.
Well, you know that
because I would ask this of anybody.
Well,
tell me you can't say this.
Well, right, because you're an American citizen.
I'm a citizen.
I mean,
and a journalist.
Right, and the point here is, and there's a deeper meaning to this business of thou shalt not ask George this list of questions. You know, George is, I mean, he acts as though he is the government, okay? The First Amendment, and just remember this for future reference, I don't know if you followed the story of last week about, or week before last, about the retired NBA player who said, "I hate gay people," all of that. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was listening to some right-wing talk radio, and I heard all these wingnuts call in and said, the NBA's violating his rights to free speech by firing him. And, you know, you can't explain these morons anything. And this is the thing I want you to take away from this. I'm not trying to lecture or anything, but people... We tend to think that the First Amendment applies to government action. In other words, what the NBA did to Tim Hardaway was not a violation of his First Amendment rights. On the other hand, when the White House tells you that you may not ask George Bush, who is the chief executive of the government, a certain question, that is a violation of the First Amendment.
Right. Because the press is supposed to be asking questions. I mean, you can tell me, and people do, right? I have to be polite, and I have to say sir, and I can't use swear words. Fine, but I'm still going to ask the questions.
Right. And sometimes, and that's what happens if you ever catch the White House press corps. Well, not press corps, just
well,
Helen
Thomas.
Well,
you know they moved Helen Thomas to the back? The one lady that was asking the real questions, and she lost her seat, and they moved her somewhere else? You know
exactly.
Why? Do you know why they moved
her? Because she was asking hard questions.
And because even if it's not her turn, you can still hear her on the microphone. That's why. Now she's so far back you can't hear her unless they call on her.
And it was getting embarrassing.
It's only embarrassing because they don't have any answers. If they really were doing the right thing, they'd have the right answers and they'd be able to stand up and say, okay, this is why we're doing this, and this is where the bomb was, and this is where the trucks are, and this is how many we ordered. And if they were really doing the right thing, they could stand up with their head high and say it. But it's only embarrassing, and they only have to tell the press not to ask questions because they're doing all the wrong stuff.
And they've been caught at it. Exactly, Cassie. This is amazing, and it's not it's not amazing. You're sharp as a tack, and people who are listening may not know that you're our official representative from the under 20 set. But you've figured out something. Listening to the processing that you're doing in this conversation, you've figured out stuff that there are literally millionaire Washington D.C. So-called journalism pundits have not figured out yet. You should be proud.
Okay.
because there are people out there, and George Will is among them, who actually subscribe to this idea of a regal presidency. You know, never forget there was a woman. She was born in West Virginia, or what was then Virginia. Her name was Ann Royal. I like to think of her as the world's first blogger, back in the days of pamphleteering and small presses and things like that. It was Martin Van Buren or John Quincy Adams. I can't remember which. But he was fond of going down and going skinny dipping in the Potomac River.
Did she take his picture?
No, she took his clothes. She went down to the bank of the river. She was all about this new technology called the telegraph. That the president wouldn't get behind. She went down to the Potomac River. She took his clothes and said, "You can walk back naked to the White House for all I care, but I'll give you your clothes back if you'll promise to get behind the telegraph."
And did he?
And he did.
And did he keep his word?
He kept his word.
See, that's different too.
Yeah, but that's having the guts to demand that as a citizen we be treated as a co-equal as a co-equal in this nation.
Yeah.
And it's worth remembering. We can do that. You can ask the hard questions. You can say, "Where are my Humvees?" You can ask the president, "Where are my National Guard troops? What are my National Guard troops dying for?"
Right, and why are they, and why can't we bring them back to Texas and let them go to the VA hospital here or the private hospital here or someplace where they'll get treated better than they are in the big one in Washington? The VA hospital
exactly.
With the problem?
Yeah, well, that's not a VA hospital. That's Walter Reed. Susan was, yeah,
the
you
Army
may have been a little late. Yeah, that's a regular Army. That's under the Department of Defense, not the VA. But we have rights to ask
Sorry.
Questions about that. That's okay. Cassie, I just love our conversations. Pardon?
Can I tell people what the name of my blog is?
Oh, please. I would be remiss if you didn't.
Okay. FrecklesCassie.wordpress.com. So,
and that's C-A-S-S-I-E, Cassie.
Yeah, Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E, .wordpress.com.
Wonderful. And people will be very well served by going there, and I hope a lot of them do.
Okay. And they can
All
even
right.
read about Agnes, because I wrote about Agnes, and then I wrote about Jeff Allen Wolf last week.
Wonderful.
So, did you read that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I go by the blog quite frequently myself.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you. Bye.
Homework's all done? Okay. Good. We will take a break and come back to more of your phone calls to 877-443-2366. That I do promise. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
G
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for a living man. Attention, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Well, Agnes is in one of her funny music moods. Love Rocky Horror. Let's go to the phones. Bob is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
I have missed you, my friend. But this is the prayer meeting night, is it not?
It is, and yes.
And I want to thank whatever deity or what is that Mike Malloy calls him, invisible cloud being that brought us back, Bruce.
Yeah, wasn't that great to hear from Bruce?
That was. And I just want to tell Bruce that just one simple thing. You know, Bruce, you are my braveheart. You are that man. That courageous human being. Bruce Birch is Braveheart. He is, because he has one, and he's got a strong one, my friend. He's got a very strong heart, and I love him for his courage and for his strength. But mostly, I love him because he's my brother, like he's your brother, and you're my my beloved son. You know, true.
Well, yeah, it's like family.
This is a family. Like Bruce was talking about. The front porch, people go by and they're just neighbors, but the neighbors are your family, just like your family is your family. And that's what Bruce was talking about. And that's why he is my Braveheart. I mean, he's not a Mel Gibson Braveheart. He is the real deal. He really is, and I love him for his strength, I love him for his courage, and I know he's been through a great deal, and so have you, and so has Agnes, and Agnes is still going through a great deal. So, hey, peace, my friend, but strength in peace, and strength in peace means that we do not back down from these cowards. We just got to stand up and have that courage that our good friend, our dear heart, and our brave heart, Bruce Brown. and he is Bruce the Braveheart. For me, forever, he will be that.
Well, I will make sure that he knows that. I'll be speaking to him after.
Well, I hope he's...
I will convey your best wishes, Bob.
I hope he's hearing me, because, hey, I want
to... Well, he can't. He doesn't have computer access right now. That's
I know.
The
well,
you mentioned,
you know, but I hope he hears one way or the other that, hey, I want to talk with him. I mean, like I used to do with him and his good friend John Fox from Down Under. When
right.
they were, when they were the team. You know, they were the team, Bob. And, you know, and they worked it in a beautiful way. And we all have to work in that beautiful way. You know, every one of us, every American, every Australian, every human being on this planet have to work for that again, to where we can all be brothers and fathers and mothers and sisters. And we can be what Cassie was, you know, trying to say, okay? She didn't say it quite well, but she did a beautiful job of telling the truth. And people that love one another do not lie to each other. They just realize their weakness. They realize that they are not perfect. And they say the truth. They do not hide from it. And I'm sorry, my friend, but I'm going to cut this short because, you know, I'm not going to rant and rave about fighting against the evildoers like the evildoers tell us to fight against everybody else. I want you and everybody else, like I love you, and I love Agnes, and I love the Bruce, because he is my brave heart. He truly is that being. He is that person, and he has a strong and a willing heart, and he fights for the truth every day of his life, and that is a good man. And Bob, thank you for being a good man. Thank you for being a good man. Thank Robert over in Japan for being a good man. Thank Andrew up there in New York.
The frozen north of New York, yeah.
Yeah, north of New York, yeah. Well, thank God he's north of New York. I would love to sit down with all these gentlemen. I mean gentlemen.
And we do every night. You know, that's what's wonderful.
I would love to sit down with them and have a cup of coffee or
Well, it really was Bruce who brought up the idea of community building, and he hit on it, and I think it was that attitude and that philosophy that made a lot of what we're doing so very special, Bob.
We got something more than community. We have a family of men and women, and oh goodness gracious, I'd love to hear from all those lovely ladies out there. They're talking the truth, and they have courage, just like we have courage, and we will not go down. What was that? Kathy, Mike Boy's wife said, gently into that.
Gently into that good night. Absolutely.
That old line about how you should just lie down and go to sleep. I'm saying stand up and bark. But you can do it with courage, and courage of your convictions, and your convictions are that all men, all women, all humans, all creatures on this planet are created equal in the eyes of their creator, whatever creator they believe it to be. All men are created equal. All creatures in this kingdom, in this universe, are equal, Bob. We are not better than an amoeba.
No, we're at best we're corpuscles.
Yeah,
I mean, we're individual cells. You're right.
We are no better than the least of us, as your Jesus taught you, as your Jesus taught you, you are no better among me or with me than the least of you. And that means those wonderful, beautiful human beings that live on the Mississippi Gulf, down there with old Sarge, and those fighters for the truth, those fighters for all of us, Bob. Not just, you know, here, I'm sitting up here and I'm finally seeing winter. I mean, it's March tomorrow and I'm finally seeing snowfall. I am finally seeing winter, and I should have had it in December. So whose fault is that? It's the fault of all these creatures that don't believe in global warming. It's not global warming. It's global heating up, and it's going to turn into hell pretty soon if you don't stop. Going the other way.
It's global. It's global boiling, Bob.
Yep.
To talk to you, brother. We will talk again soon. All right.
Well, not too soon because I got to take a break here. I've about had enough Kincaid, and I think Kincaid said enough of old Gunny Bob too. I think we need to take a break, brother. But hey, to all the human beings out there, fight for the truth and just. Stop listening to the lies. Okay?
Exactly. Thanks, Bob.
Love you much. Love
you. Careful in the snow.
And we'll talk to you sometime in the future.
Soon. All right.
Bye.
Later. We'll come back. More phone calls. Why we call it conversation radio. This little thing we've got, this community, this family, this Head On Radio Network, The Horn, and I'm Bob. It's like you run away, oh, so high octane. Every time you need to fall in love, don't you take a ride on heavy dancers. It's the only way that you can travel down that road. That is
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise!
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
So this is a song for all of you who've been with us for all of the years we've been doing this. And we'll also do it for all you people that weren't alive when this song was a hit. It's called Come Monday. Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter, rock and roll. Honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. But come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight.
And welcome back. Straight to the phones we go. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm all right.
First of all, I want to say what a great thing it was to hear from Bruce. That was wonderful.
Blew me away. I had no idea it was going to happen. I'm so tickled he called.
Well, I am, too. Tomorrow's a huge day. Tomorrow, the House is going to vote on the Employees' Free Choice Act.
Absolutely.
So I urge everyone to please contact their representatives and tell them to vote for this thing without any amendments that, you know, water it down to nothing. We need this. And, you know, like I've said before, it's with the Senate, it's probably a very rough. You know, I don't know how good our chances are of getting it passed. And, you know, I was wrong. I mean, when I said we need 60, we need 67.
Right. You need a veto-proof majority.
Exactly. So, but it's, you know, working with legislation in the state, and it's the same thing on the national level. You know, you don't always get what you want on the first try, so. But, you know, it's important to get the issue out there to the people, inform the people what this is all about. And, you know, we may very well have to wait till we get a Democratic president to get it passed, but that time's coming upon us very quickly also. So that's, you know, I wanted to bring that up. Please, everybody that's listening, you know, email, contact your representative. Let's get this.
Do you know what time the vote's scheduled for, Wayne?
No, I've been trying to find out. All I find is Thursday, you know.
That's all I've found, too, and I'm not, I guess that betrays my lack of Googling skills, but, yeah.
Your lack. You know, well, if anybody's lacking, pal, it's me, but, you know, if you could find out.
There's not. I mean, this is about what? Oh, a million times more important than that exercise in futility that was the Iraq War, the anti-war resolution. And I'm not downing ending the war. I'm downing meaningless symbolic resolutions that don't have any teeth behind them.
That's exactly right. You know, we've got to come out, and you know, hopefully they're going to introduce some binding stuff, and you know. You know Mitch McConnell, that wonderful guy, is going to, you know, beat down everything we try. And but you know, you got to, you know, let's get some you know, emboldens here. Put it out there. Let's start swinging. And
yeah, make the Republican Party stand up and explain to everybody that yes, they despise working people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so does the Chamber of Commerce, and so does the National Manufacturers Association, Mr. Cheney's good buddies, and, you know, oil industry, every, you know. And, well, it's time for working people to stand up, too. That's right. You know, contact your representatives. Urge them to vote for this thing. In the way it is right now, we don't need any amendments. We need it to pass the way it is. And, you know, like I said a million times, buddy, if you take care of the working people, if you allow the working people to get into unions, you will be absolutely amazed at the amount of problems that seem to solve themselves.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen that exhibited more plainly, Wayne, than it is with this legislation. You want to end the health care crisis? It can end this way because union workers generally have decent health care.
You want to greatly reduce poverty in this country? Pass the Employees' Free Choice Act. You want to help education? Pass the Employees' Free Choice Act. You know, people that make more money pay more taxes. More taxes goes to school and education. I mean, it, you know.
And people that make more money are able to support, you know, the economy. They can buy TVs and new stoves and the Barca loungers and new cars. And, you know, I think Ford and Chevy would kind of like to sell some new cars.
They better do something. They better do something. And has anybody mentioned to you what's happened to gas prices yesterday here?
No.
15 cents in one day.
In one day?
In one day. I went to go get a biscuit about 8:30 in the morning, and it was what was it? 2:45. And coming back, it was 2:59.9.
Jeez.
Yeah. In one day, you know.
Yeah, and nobody's showing up to pump stuff into the tank. I've had people try to explain that to me, Wayne, but I, for the life of me, I can't understand it.
I can explain it, Bob. Greed.
Yeah, greed. The election's over, and we put Democrats in Congress, and we're screwed, just like I predicted.
Exactly, and you know, I mean, you know, they're smart. You know, they didn't do it November 8th.
Right.
They waited a little while so that, you know, oh, well, yeah, well, if that was true, they'd have raised it right away, you know, or, you know, all that garbage. But 15 cents in one day.
Well, it hasn't gotten up there. It's a little bit cheaper down here yet, but it's still rising.
Huh?
Yesterday it was 220.
Okay. Well, look for a sudden change.
I will. I try to avoid putting gas in. I sit here, man. I don't go running around.
No, well, you can't run around. You could go to work, you know that, and. You know, a lot of people have a problem doing that with the price of gas. So it kind of makes those minimum wage jobs not worth going to.
So. Isn't that the truth?
Hopefully tomorrow evening we'll be celebrating that it at least passed the House, the Employees Free Choice Act.
And I intend to celebrate. Now, the last thing I got is I mentioned this at the top of the program, Wayne. Shelley Moore Capito is still not on board. At this point, I think she needs to stay off board.
I argued with her. I don't want her to vote for it. If she votes for it, then you know, she's going to want. Then she thinks we owe her something, and I don't want to owe her anything. I want to get her ass out of office. That's what I want to do.
Well, we came kind of close this last time around. If our candidate could have had a little bit of support.
Yeah, you mean like from the Democratic National Committee or?
Yeah, those people.
Yeah, the people with all the money. Yeah. And well, you know, he's a young man, and you know, I think he ought to go at it again. That's what I think. So, and maybe the and you know, with the showing that he had. Maybe that'll influence some of these people with money to, you know, this guy can do it. And I think he can. If he had the support, we would have done it. So, and support is money. I mean, a lot of people support him, but you know what politics is this day, pal? You got to have the big bucks behind you. So,
even in a little state like West Virginia, I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, man. Well, I'll be talking to you. I hope we'll be celebrating this time tomorrow night.
Well, I do, too. So, good night, buddy. Right. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. Later.
Yeah, bye.
And let's see. Last word tonight goes to Luke.
Good
evening, Luke.
Bob.
How are you?
I was trying to remember how to breathe. You know how that goes. you think it's warm that first weekend? It's like, no. No, but... I've seen tonight that Mr. Cheney's suffering from a new disease, or it's actually an old disease. He's just a new person suffering from it. He has Bob Dole disease.
Bob Dole?
Yeah. You know, Bob Dole knows what Bob Dole knows. You heard about this thing where he had people on the plane and was speaking in third person.
Well, he was speaking in first person, but demanding that he be treated as a senior White House official.
Well, like I say, I'm surprised he didn't do like what was the thing Libby did, where he demanded to be listed as a former Hill staffer.
Well, it's just astonishing. These people have no respect for anybody, especially not the press.
I know.
And you know the Libby trial today, that tortured note that came out of the jury that the judge couldn't understand.
Apparently, sort of, they asked for something, then he wrote back to ask, "What exactly did you mean?" They went, "Never mind." You know?
Yeah, we figured it out. Never mind. You know, it's real easy what they need to do. The foreman and the jury in the room just said, "Okay, he's guilty. Everybody stick your hand in the air." Okay. He's guilty. I mean, there's no
we'll go for the simple method. That works. I like it.
How in the world is Scooter Libby not guilty? I mean,
Well, like I said before, that it'd be fine if it was just his word versus Tim Russert's. But those seven or eight other people that said, "Oh, by the way, he told us before the meeting with Russert," and had them all sort of lined up there. It's like, are you going to believe our lying eyes or these eight other people who said you're lying lips?
And his defense basically amounted to,
"I forgot.
I don't remember lying." Huh? I mean,
and the dog ate the homework too. Yeah.
Exactly.
But have you heard this new thing? They were all the last couple nights been crying about some bloggers wrote something about Cheney after the blast over in Pakistan. Said the bloggers were saying things like, you know, you can't kill pure evil and all this. They said, how dare they do that? And I'm sitting there going, now let's see. These are the same people who, when Ann Coulter said that somebody should put some rat poison, I believe, in Justice Stevens' cocoa, didn't say a word.
Yeah, that was his creme brulee, yeah.
Oh, it was creme brulee. Or when she said that, you know, they missed with those planes in New York, they should have hit the New York Times building.
No. She said that the only thing wrong with what Tim McVeigh did was that he didn't do it to the New York Times.
Oh, is that what it was? I'm sorry. I got it wrong. My apologies.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm not picking. That's just
need to be accurate,
that's
though.
That's how far back her hatred goes.
And the thing of it is, it's like I say, I don't seem to remember, you know, that life support system for a haircut saying anything about it then.
Nope.
But boy, he sure was whining last night on the box.
You know, that just tells me that we've got to grow more, Luke, because they would have had an absolute hissy to have heard me last night saying that apparently somebody was throwing butter at him, or referencing our good buddies over at WD40.com with their ongoing tally of it's been X number of days since Cheney's last heart attack, please send bacon.
Well, if that doesn't work, just send lard. We'll see.
Biscuits. Bring on the biscuits. Lots of gravy. Here, Dick. We got biscuits and gravy.
Put some honey, some molasses. Come on, we'll find something here. It works. But
yeah, invite your boss. We'll bring him a plate of pretzels.
Did you get the thing I sent you from the Nashville paper about this group, this quote unquote nonpartisan group that went after Gore on his energy bill?
Yeah, the fake nonpartisan group run by a guy from the American Enterprise Institute.
Yeah. It's amazing last night I saw him on one or two things. No one brought that up. You know, it's amazing about that. You know,
Olbermann busted him.
Well, Olbermann did, yeah. But I mean, anywhere where this guy's appeared, but it's like I say, I think we should have a new motto now for the Fox Noise Channel. Half the story, but only the half we want. You know, it's one of those things. It's like that was the problem with Drudge and all this. It's like, yeah, we'll tell you the story, but we'll leave out the part that makes Gore look good about it. You know,
yeah, the fact that he's paying $5 more per 150 kilowatt hours.
Mm-hmm. Down here they've got different ones. Ours is called green power blocks. And like I say, you do that, and it offsets it. So you know what I mean? You can buy as much as you want. You know what I mean?
So yeah, see, that's very frustrating for us up there, up in West Virginia, Luke, because Appalachian Power will not allow us to buy green energy. We must burn coal.
I tell you what, you know, some of this stuff you're just sitting there going, "Come on, gang, we're just trying to get into the 20th century." You know, we ain't even talked 21st yet. Come on, we got to get y'all in the 20th century.
Yeah, and thou shalt not use wind power.
God. Well, you know, yeah, they've had us. We've had a couple of pilot projects. I know that TVA's been running, you know, trying to set up some turbines. You know what I mean? And some people have been fighting it tooth and nail.
Well, that wonderful documentary, it's a few years old now, called Kilowatt Hours, and that's O-U-R-S, not H-O-U-R-S, Kilowatt Hours. I think the website's kilowatthours.org. It describes several TVA programs that are absolutely green as grass.
Oh, yeah.
And almost utterly carbon neutral. Entire housing developments done that way. When was the last time we heard about anything like that?
Oh, none. I mean, like I say, as little as possible. You know, I mean, it's one of these things. It's like, you know, with all this stuff with building, you know, it's been on the rise for the last few years. You know, it's like we said one time about cars, you know, about how the fact that mileage hasn't increased in, you know, 50 years. Why is it, though, we aren't getting more housing developments, you know what I mean, where they're doing more of these things where we see these projects, you know, where, like I say, where they can, you know, reduce your power usage by a half or two-thirds.
And what's more, it's not only we're not getting better, we're actually getting worse.
Yeah.
If you remember a few years back, the classic case, the Honda Civic, got 60 miles an hour, miles a gallon. Do you remember that?
Oh, God.
It gets 40 now.
Yeah.
It was engineered backwards.
It's almost like they put a regulator a plate into it, you know. You're doing too damn well. Sorry about that. We can't have that. You know, but it's like, say, when you think of it, I mean, you know, most average cars now get 20, 25 miles a gallon. That's what they got 40, 50 years ago.
Sure. And, you know, there's something a little bit more nefarious in this, Luke, and it's worth thinking about. When George Bush cut the taxes on all of his rich buddies, that did, you know, revenues went down considerably throughout government, and a lot of it got passed along to state governments and county governments and municipal governments. But one of the things that also happened is that, you know, how much taxes on every gallon of gasoline? 42, 43, 45 cents? Well, because Mr. and Mrs. Caviar Habit won't pay their taxes, you and me wind up having to make up the shortfall in stuff like gasoline taxes, which in turn you wind up with Civics that do 40 miles a gallon instead of 60.
Oh,
you
mentioned that just reminded me of something. I saw it somewhere, and I cannot think of the site, and I apologize about this. But, it was over Democratic Underground. Did you see the thing about Dick Morris, Mr. Toesucker?
No, what? Not, no.
He's delinquent in his taxes. $280,000.
Wow.
I think it's Connecticut or Delaware or something like that. He's been delinquent, and he's on one of their lists. And it's just one of those things. It's sort of like, you know, it's like this thing, you know, they talk about the IRS. You know, they virtually cut off even looking at people in corporations. No, we don't need to check them, see if they're paying. We know they're paying their taxes. Let's go after, you know, anybody under 100,000, those are the people we got to catch.
Well, yeah, let's have a hissy fit about somebody's power bill, sure,
oh.
And lie about it. Luke, thanks so much, man. I hope you get to feeling better.
See ya.
Chicken soup with lots of garlic.
Bye.
Later, man. Bye now. That's it. And I don't know. Maybe we'll get to some of the prayer meeting stuff tomorrow. I gotta be better. I got to stay focused. I don't know. Maybe I need my adult onset ADD medicine. Thanks, everybody, for making this a wonderful, wonderful evening. The show tonight was produced, of course, by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes. It was engineered by our good friend John Fox in Sydney, Australia. IT professional is Peter, I have DSL now, Godbold of... Godbolt Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida. Everything that happens on the Horn, the streaming, the archives, the podcasts, all of it happens because we are supported by the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He's got a fundraiser going on. If you appreciate this, if you dig it, if you enjoy it, if it means something to you, help him keep the bills paid over there. Speaking of paying the bills, all the Horn programming happens because of the dedication of several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day, and every day they support this network and help us save the American dream. All of you on hold, I apologize. We'll try again tomorrow night. Always, always, always. RMR.
Listening to the Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
...9/11 bombshell. The cover-up is unraveling. CNN and BBC 24 news reports conclusively prove that the media had prior knowledge and false start scripting of Building 7 controlled demolition. U.S. reporter urges more aggressive media. Edwards apologizes for 2002 war vote. RFK Jr. rips President Bush for environmental policy. Scholars criticize new Jesus documentary. Baker and Christopher to head war power panel. Democratic leaders revamp anti-war plan. CIA says bin Laden in Pakistan establishing new camps. Give me a break. CIA leak jurors note to be released. February 5th, national primary to include 20 states. Group calls Gore a hypocrite over power bill. Climate panel recommends global temperature ceiling and carbon tax. A new bill would mandate a nicer term for the word illegals. And Prince Charles says, ban the Big Mac. Hell, as long as they don't ban this show, I'm fine with that. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.